This was one of my first ever interactions in a regression. Social psychology has argued forever. In fact, some say that it was the beginning of what we now call social psychology to argue about whether people or situations drive behavior. Is it the differences between people that drive the behavior, or is it the differences between situations that drive the behavior? And so this was a piece of research that was designed to look at that. And the person who was doing the research, well, let me tell you about the research. The purpose of the study was to examine the contribution of person and situation variables to social performance, as well as consider their interaction. See, the theory was about how they interact. Like the nature-nurture controversy, this whole thing started as one or the other. It had to be people or it had to be situations. Couldn't be both. Then, as the argument matured, they decided it was both, but the models weren't fitting very well, and so they decided that there was an interaction. That for some people, situation matters more than other, and in some situations, person matters more than others. That's an interaction. That's sometimes maybe it depends. And so what people would do is they would measure how much 60 participants were each selected to have a wide range of dyadic and group social skills based on a previously completed survey. So we would take a measure of social skills, a deep quantitative measure of social skills. Each party had a manipulated mix of formally and informally dressed male and female administrators, faculty, undergraduates, and graduates. We actually got deans and deanlets to come do this for us. We had to pay them scale, and we had about, we spent almost $20,000 on actors and shills and Confederates. It's a nicely funded piece of research. And what we did, and we practiced the hell out of it, was we set up these fake parties. In terms of the long con, it was a front room con. You create a room that isn't really there just to manipulate one poor fucker. Well, we did a few at a time. So each party had a manipulated mix of formally and informally dressed male and female administrators, faculties, undergraduates, and graduates. We aided that with tags that had labels and colors and things so you could look and you could tell if somebody was admin, professor, undergraduate, or graduate. I mean, we're trying to manipulate things here. The mix was designed to manipulate the social complexity of the situation according to a scoring system previously devised and validated. Fortunately, somebody over in anthropology had been working for years on a coding system for the complexity of a social situation. We flipped that around and used it as a manipulation base, which was fun. Also, at each meeting, there were several teams of trained research Confederates who engaged each participant in a conversation that was carefully scripted, staged, practiced. Video of these conversations were coded to provide social performance score for each participant. So we've got, for every conversation that a participant is in, we know how socially skilled they are, and we know how complex the social situation was. And what they wanted to do was look at interaction, so they were going to set this up as a 2x2. You have low and high social skills, and you have low and high complexity. This is the standard social psychology thing at the time. You take two continuous variables, you whoop them into two median splits, and you hope that the 2x2 captures everything and has enough power and sensitivity to get the interaction. This is an abomination to a measurement person. Just remember what we're doing. We've got a nice distribution of social skills, and we're doing a median split. And what we're saying is that these two people are exactly the same. So draw the same symbol, Cal. These two people are exactly the same. And these two people are categorically different from each other. We're introducing a massive amount of measurement error. All we got to do is write the model as a regression model that includes the interaction term, because the hypothesis is about an interaction. So we center social skills, We center situational complexity, each at their mean, and we calculate an interaction term. Dun, 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 dun. At the time, it was very popular to do this as a nested model comparison, with the main effect model built first, and then adding the interaction, and getting the R-squared change F-test to express the interaction, the existence of the interaction, based on that nested model comparison, specifically testing the interaction. Now, you and I know that that's parallel to testing the single term that's carrying the interaction. Broke down, did you? So, the first model accounts for 14% of the variance, which is statistically significant. The second model accounts for 28% of the variance, which is statistically significant. And on the right-hand side, we see that that 14% of the variance that was added by the inclusion of the interaction is a significant increase. So that R-squared change F-test tells us the interaction is significant, that it matters. It doesn't necessarily support the research hypothesis, because the research hypothesis is about a particular pattern of interaction, not just the presence of an interaction. All we get from that F-test is that there's one there. What it is, don't know. In order to do that, we have to interpret regression weights, draw plots, cool shit like that. So this tells us, well, first of all, this tells us that we have an interaction. That's a little bitty tiny regression weight. I mean, it's 0.007. But look at that beta weight. This is the big dog in the model. Okay? So why is that so freaking little? Because that interaction is a product term. We mean-centered each of the variables, which changes the mean to zero. It doesn't change the standard deviation. When you multiply two things together that have substantial standard deviations, the product term has a huge standard deviation. Not only a huge standard deviation, but substantially bigger than the other boys and girls in the model. And so the reason this is such a small raw score regression weight is that it's such a huge scale. We really got to pack that down to fit it into a Y prime. But remember, don't look at raw score regression weights to think about relative size and importance. All three of these things have different standard deviations. Comparing them is difficult, challenging, probably wrong. You look here. That's enough of a beta weight to argue about whether or not social skill accounted for more variance or was importantly more important than situational complexity. Arguing about whether these two are meaningfully different is not saying that they interact, it's saying which main effect is bigger. A reasonable argument. That's the sucker that tells us that the contribution of situational complexity and social skills is not just additive. There's more to it than just adding them together. There's an interaction. There's a sometimes, maybe, it depends. So what we expected was this. We figured with low enough complexity, everybody does well. If you've got good social skills, as complexity goes up, you've got the social skills to handle the increase in complexity, and you do fine. The lower your social skills, the more the complexity degrades your social performance. That's what we expected. And that's based on everything we could find. Oh boy. Remember, the average is 17. Just a little bit below average on complexity is where you get convergence. And you get convergence in the middle of the performance distribution, not at the top. Now this out here, cool, but didn't shock anybody. In a complex situation, people with more social skills outperform those with moderate social skills, outperform those with low social skills. Oh shit. As the complexity decreases, the performance differences decrease. But notice that they converge towards the middle instead of converging towards better. And you can reach a point where you actually get a flip. At very low social skill, I'm sorry, at very low complexity, the people with lower social skills actually outperform the people with high social skills. This was incredibly cool for about 6 hours. There's nothing wrong with it. It perfectly represents the variables as measured. Here's the problem. The nice guy, and this was a Yale guy. I mean, really good. He'd worked a lot with this. Social skills to him did not include certain forms of humor. In fact, irony and sarcasm were seen as really, really socially unskilled. So if you used irony or sarcasm, you got a really low social skill. And you put people that have lots and lots of social skills, which the way it was measured here pretty much means a broad range of interaction styles. That's what social skills turned out. I mean, I didn't pick the variables, okay? I would have picked these variables because this is what everybody was using. But when you get something funky, you go back and you look at it and you try and figure out what the hell happened. And what happened was that the way we measured social skills was basically how fluid is a person across different kinds of situations and interacting with different kinds of people. Okay? And the expression of social skills forbade certain forms of impoliteness like irony and sarcasm or being overly familiar with somebody. Well, what do you get if you take people with a lot of glibness and you drop them into a really simple situation? And one of the ways that the simple situation was defined as no administrators or faculty. So you got people who have lots of social skills, use lots of humor, you put them in a situation with their kind, and you lead them down a path towards irony and sarcasm and innuendo, and they do, but they get hammered for it because of the way things were measured. Okay. This flip here is almost exclusively because we define situational complexity as not having to deal with anybody above you. Okay? And we define social skills as never using irony, innuendo, or sarcasm. You put those two together, and that definition of social skills shows low social skills in a simple situation. The lesson here is, man, be careful what you grab off the shelf, even if everybody else is using it. When you redefine people's social skills in terms of consistency, being able to handle things, being consistent, consistently expressing themselves, and you allow irony, sarcasm, and innuendo, you get that interaction pattern. The difference between what we got and what we expected was a lack of understanding of how we were operationalizing things. That haunts you for a long time. Now, the good news is that we were able to, yeah, me too. We were able to find a journal that allowed us to present both sets of data based on both scoring systems. They let us have that many pages, and we turned it into a methods paper. And of course, if we don't put the interaction term in, boring and wrong story. So, a lot to be learned from this. That's why I keep it around. Every time I think I get a model that is so different from what I expected that I have to dramatically change theory, I don't start by changing theory. I start by carefully considering the operational definitions of how we measure things. Are we really measuring what we say we're measuring? And the cool thing is that most of the time nowadays, you can use multiple measures of things. You know, collect 5 different measures of social skills, see if you get the same pattern with each of those in instead of each other. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't, and that's where you really learn stuff. All right, so let's say that we wanted to know, let me back up. So the only line that we really know anything about is the blue one, right? Because the regression weight is about the blue line, because that's holding social skills constant at 0. If we want to learn about the square red line, which I think is supposed to look maroon, but we don't have that much of a projector, we need to go get it specifically. And the way we get that is that we are going to change what we center social skills at. Now, this can be confusing. In order to get a different situational complexity regression line, I have to change the value of social skills. So instead of it being mean-centered, we're going to take the standard deviation away from that. And so this is 0, this is plus 1 standard deviation, this is minus 1 standard deviation. When I take 1 standard deviation away from this, it becomes the 0 group. And so the regression weight will tell us about, this is 0, this is plus 1, this is minus 1. When I subtract 1 standard deviation, this becomes the 0 line, and now that's going to be my x1 regression weight. If I add 1, this is going to become 0. That's all. We recenter social skills, leave situational complexity alone, build a new interaction term using the new social skills measure, plug it in. When we do that, we get exactly the same model, it just doesn't quite look like it. Because we've changed which group we get the situational complexity line for. Or which value, I'm sorry. We can go the other way. Notice everything is staying the same except this regression weight. It's shifting from representing this line in the original mean-centered, representing this line when we add a standard deviation, representing this line when we subtract the standard deviation.